שלום, אנחנו קוראים.
Hello, we'll be reading Rabash's article, What is for I have hardened his heart in the work? You can find the article on kabbalahmedia.info.
אני הרבדתי את ליבו בעבודה.
For I've hardened his heart in the work. The heart is the heart of Pharaoh. The will to receive, in order to receive. We should emphasize it, increase it, so it will become clear what it is and who is the enemy of a person on the way to the Creator, so that we'll identify it, we'll know how to invert it from evil to good. And then, only by inverting this evil called Pharaoh into the good that we call the Creator, we can reach adhesion. This is why we have to understand that the truth is we have no more loyal slave of the Creator than Pharaoh. He does this work, he has no free choice, it's the force of nature, but it's intended specifically to bring us to the Creator, so that we'll be able to distinguish between light and darkness, bestowal and reception, bitter and sweet, etc. This means that specifically by Pharaoh, we learn how we can reach qualities which are the Creator, how we can acquire these qualities, and that all in all, I have hardened his heart. Meaning, you can be sure that the Creator is standing behind everything and there's none else besides him doing something to us in the entire reality. Even the most unpleasant things, when we associate them with all kinds of forces of nature or even human beings, all these actions or thoughts that are against us, we have to understand that the moment we overcome this, and we say, no, this comes from the Creator, and I want to reach the love of the Creator, then all these means that have been opposite, they become supporters. And this is why we advance. We're incapable of discerning one thing. We can only discern one thing with its opposite. And we are the created beings, so we have to feel ourselves and to feel the Creator. And the gap between the two, between feeling oneself and feeling the Creator, gives us the feeling of reality where we exist. That's why those discernments that seem to us opposite, they actually help us. And the bigger they are, these discernments that are opposite of the Creator, the more we can reveal the Creator in a more internal way, in a larger way, in more precise discernments. That's why if you're bigger than your friend, your inclination is bigger. And the more you advance, the disturbances become bigger and bigger. And at the same time, we intermittently feel how much it helps us discern one thing with its opposite. And all in all, you can reach this fixation of a state that there is none else besides him.
What is, for I have hardened his heart in the work? We should ask about the verse, for I have hardened his heart. Why did the Creator not harden Pharaoh's heart at the very beginning? Instead, we see that only after Pharaoh admitted and said, the Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones, then the verse says, for I have hardened his heart. Also, all the interpreters ask, why did the Creator deny Pharaoh the choice? It is known that the order of the work is such that we begin the work in order to receive reward. To the extent that the body hears that it will be rewarded, and if it does not suffer, if it doesn't, it suffers, this leads a person to work in observing Torah and commandments. That is, to the extent that he believes in reward and punishment, he receives motivation so as to be able to observe the Torah and commandments in all its details and precisions. In this way, one sees that he is advancing each day, and therefore he enjoys his work, since he sees progress in the work. This follows the rule that one cannot do any work unless he sees progress in the work. It is like a person learning some profession, and he sees that he is not advancing in this profession, so he looks for something else to do, something that's easier for him. But without progress, it is impossible to do anything. This stems from the matter which God has created to do, as it is written. For this reason, there must be progress in everything. This is like a horse that pushes the grindstones and walks in circles all day long. Because it constantly walks in the same place, its eyes must be covered so that it does not see the truth.
But what is our work? All in all, to determine the uniqueness and the fact that there's no else besides Him, about the Creator, upon all the disturbances and the excuses that a person has in this world and the spiritual, it's all disturbances that belong only to this force that seems to be against the Creator. It's called Pharaoh. And upon this force, with all the different events, all the confusions, everything that Pharaoh sends us, meaning the Creator, through that evil force, which has a role to confuse us, He's sending this to us. And through this confusion, we can determine every time, no, it's the Creator. There's nothing else besides Him. And then all these discernments clothe on there's nothing else besides Him. And this way, we can ascribe more and more discernments to there's nothing else besides Him, more details, more subtleties about it. This is how we reach the image of the Creator through the image of Pharaoh. Because about the Creator Himself, we have no approach. It has no body or image or nothing. So these disturbances, by coming in the opposite way, they set an image of the Creator for us.
Again, its eyes must be covered so it does not see the truth. But instead, it will think that it is walking to a different place each time. That is, even animals must see progress in what they do. And any progress in the work is seen only when we work in order to receive reward. But when we begin to work in order to bestow, when we want to achieve adhesion with the Creator, which is equivalence of form, then a person cannot look at the things he does. Meaning, although he sees that now he is doing more than he did while he was working in order to receive reward, but now he has a different measurement, which is, to what extent does he aim his actions to be in order to bestow and not for his own sake? At that time, he sees that he is far from it. Although he has many ascents, meaning he ascends in his degree, and now he wants to do everything for the sake of the Creator, it is only because he has received an awakening from above. Then he wants to annul before the Creator as a candle before a torch. But afterwards, he descends from this state and falls once more into self-love. then he sees that he has become worse. That is, he sees that each time he is further from the work of bestowal, to the point that many times he comes to a state of pondering the beginning. A person asks himself, why, when I worked in order to receive reward, I had a good taste in the work, and I prayed and learned willingly, but now that I want to make more efforts than I did while I worked in order to receive reward, I see that I do not have the flavor that I had then. The person asks, now that I want to work for the sake of the Creator, it stands to reason that I should have felt more closeness than while I was working for my own sake. But now he sees the opposite. Not only does he not advance, rather he regresses. The answer is, as Baal Sulam said, that one must believe that everything he now feels, namely that he is further away from the Creator, all this comes from above. That is, it is the hardening of the heart that the Creator gives in order for one to discover the true need, meaning to feel that without the help of the Creator, he cannot emerge from the control of the will to receive for himself. Rather, only the Creator himself can help. As the Creator gave him the nature of the desire to receive for himself, the Creator should now give him a second nature called desire to bestow, since there is no light without a kli, without a vessel, which is called deficiency. That is, the lack puts the taste, the flavor in the filling. Thus, if a person is given a filling, but he has no need for it, he cannot taste the real taste in this filling, in this fulfillment. If he is given this fulfillment before he has a need, he will not be able to use the fulfillment to elicit from that fulfillment what's in it. It follows that the lack is part of the fulfillment, since one without the other does not work. It follows that as one is given fulfillment from above, so one should also be given a lack. It follows that when a person sees that he is now further away from the work of bestowal, he is given this from above, because the lack is part of the fulfillment. Therefore, as the upper one gives fulfillment, so the upper one gives the lack.
We see this on ourselves, that sometimes I wake up, sometimes I don't. I wake up in the morning like a log of wood. I have no thought, I have no desire, no awakening for anything. Sometimes I'm the opposite. Where does it come from? Of course, it all comes from above. We have to make sure that this is how it is. By the group, we can awaken ourselves. However, every time it becomes more and more difficult. And this is part of our work. Yes?
By this we can interpret the two questions we asked. One, why is it specifically after Pharaoh said, "The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones," that the Creator hardened his heart, and not before? Two, why did the Creator deny him the choice, as it is written, "For I have hardened his heart"? The answer is that in the beginning, when beginning the work, one must see that everything depends on him. This is so long as he is working in order to receive reward. At that time, a person can say, "The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones." Hence, when one wants to work in order to bestow, meaning to achieve dvikut, or adhesion, with the Creator, he must see the truth, that it is not within man's power, since it contradicts the nature with which he was born. And only the Creator can give him a second nature. However, without a lack, there is no real flavor in the fulfillment. Hence, the Creator gives the hardening of the heart so that the person will feel the deficiency to the fullest. This explains why only afterward did the Creator harden his heart, meaning after he began to work for the sake of the Creator, and not before. Also, why did he need the hardening of the heart? It is for another reason, namely that if one does not feel the real lack, one cannot receive the real fulfillment, since there is no light without a kli. It follows that the hardening of the heart was not to his detriment, meaning to remove him from the Creator. To the contrary, the hardening of the heart was in order to bring him to dvekut with the Creator. We therefore see that the lack that a person feels when he is distant from the Creator, that too comes from above, and not by the person's own awakening. By this we can interpret what our sages said, that in a place where there are no people, try to be a person. We should interpret this in the work. When one begins the work, he begins in order to receive reward. Afterward, he sees that there are no people here, since in the work we learn everything in one person. It follows that he saw that there was no quality of people in his heart, rather only that of beasts, who do not know anything more than their own benefit. And he thinks about himself, how can it be said about the chosen people, as it is written, you have chosen us from amongst all nations, you have loved us, that there is nothing more than a beast's desire in the heart of the chosen people. About this, our sages said, in a place where you see that there are no people in your heart, do not look at how the rest of the people behave. Rather, you try to be a person. In other words, since you have come to see the truth that one must be a person rather than a beast, while the rest of the people have not achieved this awareness that there are no people in their hearts, since they have not received this awareness, it is a sign that they still do not belong to the work of the individual, which is the work of bestowal. This is the meaning of the words in a place, meaning in a place where the knowledge comes that there are no people, meaning that this person who received this awareness must try to be a person and not a beast. Hence, for the most part, one feels that he is complete, meaning he prays, he learns Torah, and he observes commandments. He just thinks that he should only increase the quantity, but in terms of the quality of the work, he has nothing to examine, because he thinks that he is doing everything for the sake of the Creator, surely. It therefore follows that when one feels deficient, when he feels that he is immersed in self-love and that he is far from the matter of bestowal, this does not come from the person himself, but rather by an awakening from above. That is, from above he was notified of his real state, of how he is removed from the Creator and does not want to annul before him. Meaning that when one feels his own loneliness, he must believe that it came to him from the Kedusha, from holiness. This is similar to what is written of Moses, that he went out to his brethren and saw their suffering, and he saw an Egyptian man striking a Hebrew man, one of his brethren, and he saw that there was no one about. In the work, we should interpret that precisely when a person has the quality of Moses, of Moshe, called Torah, he can then see how an Egyptian man, meaning the will to receive for oneself, he says that he is called a man. And with this force called Torah, he sees that it is striking the Hebrew man. Meaning, for the Hebrew, a man is one who does not do what a beast does. Meaning, that a man, a person, is one who does not use the desires of beasts, as it is written, and he saw that there was no one about. Meaning, that a person will never emerge from him by his own efforts. This is so because that person has the quality of Moshe, who is the quality of the faithful shepherd, he who shepherds the faith for the whole of Israel. And that force awakens the person to see the truth, that he will never achieve the quality of person by himself. This is the meaning of the verse, and he saw that there was no one about. This causes him to ask the Creator to give him faith in the Creator, by which he will achieve adhesion with the Creator. However, once a person has been rewarded with faith, it is still incomplete, for although now he is called a person rather than a beast, he should also achieve the quality of Torah. For specifically through the Torah, a person achieves his wholeness. Since he should achieve the state of the Torah, the Creator and Israel are one. This is called the quality of speaking, as it is written of Moses, Moshe, who said, "And Moses said to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I am not a man of words.'" In the work, we should interpret that he asked that it was not enough that he was already in the quality of person, but rather he wanted to be a man of words, to be rewarded with the quality of speaking, called Torah, for specifically the quality of speaking, which is the Torah, is regarded as wholeness. However, we must not forget that in the work there is the matter of right, which is the opposite of left. That is, just as on the path of the left, the more deficiencies a person sees in himself, the better. Since a lack is called a kli, a vessel, so a greater lack means a bigger kli. The same is true for the right, meaning the more complete one feels, the bigger is his vessel, his kli. Meaning that the more a person sees that he is full of deficiencies, the bigger the prayer he can pray compared to one who is not so deficient, and whose prayer is therefore not as wholehearted. Thus, specifically, the lack determines the measure of prayer.
Also, the path of the right is considered that a person must feel that there is wholeness. Here, too, to the extent that he feels wholeness, to that extent he can thank the Creator. That is, the wholeness that one is in determines the measure of the gratitude to the Creator. Hence, a person must seek advice how to see that he has wholeness. However, he must see that his wholeness is not built on falsehood. We should ask, if a person sees that he has no need for spirituality and he is immersed in self-love, how can he tell himself that he has wholeness? First, we must appreciate the connection we have with the Creator, meaning that one must believe that the state where one feels that he is empty and destitute, when he feels that in his heart there is no need for spirituality, who gave him that feeling? Usually, a person worries about what he lacks, and he does not worry about what he does not need. Thus, we should ask, who gave him the worry for that which he does not need? The answer is that in truth, he does have an inner desire. He does need nearness with the Creator. But that lack is still not revealed within him to the extent that he will need to seek advice how to satisfy his lack. For this reason, a person must be glad that at least he has a need for spirituality, whereas the rest of the people have no interest in spirituality whatsoever. When a person appreciates this, although it is not important to him, he does appreciate it and tries to thank the Creator for this. This causes him to acquire importance for spirituality. And from this, a person can be happy. By this, a person can be rewarded with dvikut, since, as Baal HaSulam said, the blessed clings to the blessed. In other words, when a person is happy and thanks the Creator, he feels that the Creator has blessed him by giving him a little something of kedusha, of sanctity. Then, the blessed clings to the blessed. Through this wholeness, one can achieve real dvikut. Baal HaSulam said that a person should depict to himself, even when he is in utter lowliness, when he thinks that if the Creator had illuminated for him a great awakening, as he once felt during the ascent, he would certainly be willing to do the holy work. But now that he does not feel anything, how can he deceive himself that he has wholeness? At that time, he must believe in the sages, who said to us that one must depict to himself as though he has already been rewarded with feeling the existence of the Creator in all his organs, and how he would thank and praise the Creator. Likewise, now he should thank and praise the Creator as though he has already been rewarded with the real wholeness. Questions? Everything is clear. Nice. Yes, Nessie.
Pharaoh comes to the recognition that he is wicked. The question is, how come? And if the good needs to discover that he's evil, he discovers it in comparison with actual evil, but he himself is evil, so in respect to what can he say that he's evil?
We learn Torah in one body, meaning all there is a person that starts discerning, where do I exist? What affects me? Who am I? What am I? Pharaoh is all our thoughts and desires that stand in our way of revealing and reaching adhesion with the Creator. And we research. This Pharaoh suddenly confuses me, meaning all kinds of thoughts awaken. They may be pleasant thoughts, pleasant desires, and they take me from one state to another. They confuse me throughout this whole life. That's how it is all the time. This is the ordinary Pharaoh. My ordinary evil inclination confusing me throughout my whole life until I die. This is well known to me. Millions of people, billions of people live this way. They're being confused by the will to receive, and they have to serve this will to receive. This is the meaning of the verse. Everyone is a servant of Pharaoh. Not slaves, but servants. Because this is something a person determines for himself, if he's a servant or a slave. And then he does what his nature, what his ego tells him. And in return, he receives pleasures, or at least less torments. And so he's willing to keep all of Pharaoh's commandments, all the commands of his corporeal nature. If the Creator wants a person to come closer to Him, to Himself, to the Creator, then He hardens his heart, the heart of man. And it gives him a feeling that whatever he's doing in his life, meaning following the commands of nature, these are actually commands by Pharaoh, meaning it's the evil force. It's not for your own good, for man's good. He's confusing you throughout your life, so later on he can bury you in the ground. That's it. And he's enjoying. He's enjoying the fact that you are following his commands. You're going according to his words. If you resist it, and you want to know for what reason, why, I don't want to be under the control of my nature. By that, I'm not alive. I'm not enjoying. There's no benefit for me. And what for? And why? Then you start asking. And out of your questions, you start researching and understanding him more. And you start understanding this inclination you have is evil, because it disconnects you from being free, knowing what you're alive for. Instead of that, you're concerned only about giving pleasure to him. You want to eat, to sleep, to rest, to take a walk, to do this, to do that. He's pushing you to be with your family, with your children, all kinds of things. It's confusing you throughout your whole life. Let's say I have even 100 years to live. It fills these 100 years in all kinds of business, games, doesn't matter what. He gives me all these things, and throughout my whole life, I am serving him. When a person asks, for what reason, why, then this evil inclination starts playing a different game with him, not giving him or letting him understand that there is something, not letting him understand that there is something here, the essence of life. So it manipulates a person in order to bring this person to ask questions. What am I living for? Why am I alive? Where is my existence from? Who do I belong to? What happens before life, after death, etc.? And the main thing about this inclination of ours is that it starts directing us in a special measure that brings us to ask essential questions. When a person starts asking, what am I living for? Why am I alive? Then this inclination inside a person shows this person how much it's in control, despite these questions. Meaning, on the one hand, it evokes these essential questions, because it forces a person to deal with nonsense. On the other hand, it shows a person that it's nonsense, but you cannot not do it. And so, directly and indirectly, it shakes a person, so it will start thinking, why am I living this life? What am I doing? Until a person is awakened in a way that he starts feeling. This person starts feeling that his nature is directed in a way for him to awaken in the right way. And where does this knowledge come from? How does it reveal this? Because that same Pharaoh, the boss of this person, shows this person how much his life, your life is worth nothing. There's no benefit here. if there were one force working on this person, he would carry out this desire of this one force. But because it forces a person to do what it tells it, and also it lets a person understand that this whole life of yours there, it's completely empty, and it's all comes from him. Meaning that there is a kind of study. It shows us, teaches us that we are dealing with nonsense, and that's our whole life. There's no benefit in it, in them. Meaning it's as if he shoots his own leg. He's as if it's harming himself. Gives you the work to do, and on the other hand, it tells you, this work you're doing, it's worthless. You're a beast, you're worth nothing. Look, you're a human being, but I'm making a beast out of you. That's the main thing. And then we start having recognition of this evil. How come I'm a human being, but all I'm doing is things that are related to beasts? What can I do? Then we start seeing that there's as if one thing and its opposite here. That this evil inclination of ours, this Pharaoh, brings us to get to know the Creator. First, we know it. We know the Pharaoh. And only then we learn that behind this evil inclination, it teaches us that behind it there is the good inclination. That the intention is for our benefit. That's how it teaches us. As the advantage of light out of darkness, so we can understand the opposite things that lie up beyond our nature. But why does he do it this way? So that we, by our own desire and effort, we will reach a state that we can open this reality for ourselves, this upper world, so that by that, we will come to recognize the upper force above Pharaoh. Not the one that all the time plays with this hardening of our heart, with our evil inclination, but rather after we understand that on his behalf, on our nature's behalf, there's both the action and the intention, we too learn the action and the intention. And so we reveal the opposite form of Pharaoh, which is the Creator. The entire work then starts to be running after there's no one besides him. I no longer look at Pharaoh. I look at Pharaoh only to see the Creator through it. And I want to lock myself on the Creator. And then Pharaoh can play with all these images. All these images of Pharaoh, they help me to learn all kinds of different manners the Creator is relating to me with. Because the Creator himself is a constant relation. The good that does good for the evil, for the good, without any changes. And I cannot discern anything about it. I can't even understand the good, not only the bad. I can't understand anything. Because now there's the upper light fills the entire reality. So where is it? It's not there. But Pharaoh lets me, or shows me, such a form. It's like a negative with a positive. Like slides through which I can look at the light, and then I can see all these pictures in the light. Is this example clear? That's what Pharaoh does. Meaning we can't recognize or distinguish anything about the Creator without Pharaoh. And then we understand this game. As much as Pharaoh becomes more hard because of hardening his heart, accordingly, we can reveal more and more discernments by the contrast of good and evil, we discern all the different colors. And without Pharaoh, there is no creator. That's why I've created the evil inclination. That's what he says first. And through the evil inclination, only through it, when you look at that, and as a created being, you try to see that there is only the good that does good. You start discerning all kinds of relations, actions, intentions, and through that you can know how to behave, so that through Pharaoh you can equalize yourself with the Creator. That's the whole thing about having to be in Egypt for 400 years of exile, and bit by bit, after that, you get to know the Creator. Yes?
So when we look at Pharaoh, we should focus on there's none else besides him who is good and benevolent?
All the time. All the time. Otherwise, what are you looking at? Nature. If you're looking at Pharaoh without the Creator, then you're a researcher of this world. You research the beast, the behavior of human beings, like anyone here in this world. If you're looking at this world, all this picture before your eyes, this whole theater, if you're looking through it on the Creator, then you start attaining its supervision. That there is the good that does good. You don't discover that the good that does good without having all these opposite forms before your eyes. You must have them, as light excels out of darkness. Okay? Yes.
So this means that there are disturbances, disruptions, and through these disruptions I try to constantly go towards adhesion, and by that action where I try to achieve adhesion, there I discover how I need to behave, and that's how the Creator wants me to behave.
Only that. Through these disturbances you reach adhesion. Without disturbances you will reach nothing. Without disturbances you're only in mysticism. If you relate to the good that does good, then who am I? I'm only a mysticist. If all I do is, all I engage in is in the disturbances, meaning in the form of reality I attain, without relating to the Creator behind it, then I'm a scientist. How can I combine the two? When I clothe the form of this world on, there's none else besides him, this is the wisdom of Kabbalah already. This is how the approach is. Ultimately, things seem to be relatively simple. When everything falls into place, it's a wonder how simple it is, and so difficult. Yes, Shamil.
I have two questions to ask. The first question is, you know, there is two questions which I've asked here, where it writes, why did he deny him the choice? As it is written, for I have hardened his heart. What choice is it talking about?
That I've hardened his heart. This means, this is what the Creator says about Pharaoh. Then he raises you to an even higher degree of discernment. Meaning there's a choice here in a higher form. It's a more difficult choice, more complex. For I've hardened his heart. Meaning now, in spirituality, it's not about power, having 5 kilo or 10 kilo. The difference between the degrees is essential. It's not in quality, in quantity. It's in quality. I've hardened his heart, meaning for you it will become much more difficult to discern between good and bad, bestowal and reception, light and darkness. You're gonna have to be more complicated inside, in order to identify these complexities outside. This is what a person warns Moses, the Creator warns Moses. You have to be more complicated, more advanced, more to discern good and evil.
And also, Rav, you know, in this text, I understood that they are talking about two sides. One, a person, when he has no desire for spirituality, and he receives it from the Guru. And second is that he has an inner desire. What is this inner desire?
When a person has a desire for spirituality, a person who has a desire for spirituality is—he doesn't know where he's drawn to. Ultimately, of course, he's drawn to reveal the Creator, but in the beginning, he doesn't know what. So something disturbs him in his life. Why and what am I? What do I have in life? What do they want from me? Why can't I be calm like all the other people? I see my neighbors. They're doing all kinds of things, ordinary things in this world. One may be a great scientist, the other a politician, a third one a salesman, etc. And I don't care about this, about that. All my business seems so unimportant. It's like children's games. I want to do something that you cannot change, that is eternal and whole, something which is above human nature, that doesn't depend on this petty human society. I want something that to deal with something that in my eyes has a high value. And this is what awakens a person to the wisdom of Kabbalah. He may stay somewhere on the path, calming himself down. This depends on the root of the soul. He may reach a group where he's told, yeah, the main thing is for you to do this and that. Besides that, nothing. Just do these movements, these rituals, and then you'll see, and it truly fills people. But until a certain height, if the root of his soul is higher than that, then settling for the corporeal actions won't be enough for him. Then he starts asking why and where from, etc. Then maybe he's told about this matter in a scientific way, or maybe let's learn this from the books. I'm telling you out of my own experience. And then I suddenly catch myself. For 4 straight months, I've been learning how to change the coals on Shabbat, on the holidays or ordinary days, for 4 months. Then I was looking at myself. Where am I? Why must I do this? I was told, you have to do it. These are holy things, holy words. And I said, this is not for me. So even though a person is under the influence of the environment, giving you an example and giving you importance, a person measures this, and I couldn't. And so you advance, you go on. Until a person reaches a state where he feels he's saturated. Meaning now, this is the state. This is the place that has what I want to acquire. This will probably fill me up. That's it. That's the way it is. So each one reaches a state that he doesn't yet reach, but he wants to reach. That's how. This is why we have to understand this. Some people fall on us, but the root of their soul is lower, and then they'll have to gradually come down and look for themselves. Each one will reach his right place. Meaning, of this whole ladder, whatever exists, each one has to look for the place from which he will get the fulfillment. We learn in this article that the deficiency and the fulfillment come from the same place.
It cannot be any other way, because the fulfillment is the opposite of the lack.
In the corporeal world, the chisaron and the fulfillment somehow are interconnected. Somehow,
it's the same in spirituality. They're tied together. Achuraim v'panim, the front and back, so to speak.
But in the article, it also says that when the Creator wants us closer, He gives us the chisaron in the initially, and as a result, we want to run away from the Creator. Moreover, if we do not run away by the environment, we nonetheless receive the fulfillment, meaning the next chisaron, it completely annuls, makes us forget everything we knew, and so we cannot connect the chisaron and the fulfillment in any way. Then there's a question. What should we learn from this contrast? When we have no connection in our feeling between the deficiency and the fulfillment, and as the next chisaron comes, it requires new efforts, as if we haven't acquired this or accumulated this deficiency.
Right. So, ultimately, by that you learn how to be loyal. To be rid of everything that you had before, completely. And to acquire the degree of faith, the degree of Bina, a new one. Otherwise, you'll never climb the degrees of Bina. That's why what the Creator brings you, every time, is contradiction. A contradiction with the previous state, and therefore you're confused, you're incapable of doing anything, you suffer, you hate, and that's how it comes. Why? Because you need to be clean, pure, for the next degree. To reach it without any previous load.
Ken Cohen.
What's the purpose or the goal of the will to receive?
To become similar to the Creator in its intention, which is in order to bestow.
But
not to be fulfilled.
No, not to be fulfilled.
It's like being dead, right?
The will to receive needs to come to a state where it carries out the tzimtzum, restriction. It says, I don't want to exist for my own sake, meaning to fulfill myself. I fulfill myself only on the condition that I'm certain that by so doing, I'm bringing contentment to the Creator. And so, I carry out a tzimtzum, a restriction on myself, and then I check if I can receive something from the Creator by which he will enjoy it, then I receive it. If I can't receive with the intention to bestow, where he enjoys it and I feel that he is enjoying it, meaning I need to be connected to him, I need to feel that he is enjoying it. If it's not like that, I'm not receiving. I'm better off dead than alive then.
Should one feel that the Creator enjoys?
Yes. Yes. In receiving in order to bestow,
I feel that the Creator is enjoying in that part that I receive, because in that part I need to feel that He is enjoying it. That's what we say, that of the Or Yashar, clothing in the Or Chozer, and both together become Or Pnimi, inner light.
No. In order that the Creator will enjoy, the will to receive needs also to maintain an empty space that the Creator can fulfill.
Yes, of course.
So it's never completely fulfilled. Well, certainly not for itself.
It doesn't matter. It's not important. How can it be that I fulfill myself if not for the sake of the Creator? If it's for my own sake, then we're separated from each other. We're separate from each other, and then I become the klipa, the shell.
Even I am part of the Creator. In the end, there's a tiny point without any pleasure.
How could that be?
I don't know what he's talking about. What? To the point. Well, what is he? What story is he spinning there in English?
The end goal is to fill the Creator, and the Creator wants that there should be pleasure throughout. Nothing without pleasure.
Of course, yes, of course. Ultimately, that's what'll happen. So.
No, I'm just trying to. I can't. It's beyond my understanding. Okay.
Correct. You don't need to think of that. The Creator wants the whole of creation. The whole of creation. Yeah, wait. I need to know what's right in front of me. What's up to me? Yes.
Can you define Pharaoh? What Pharaoh is? What Pharaoh's shape is?
The entire will to receive, which the Creator created, of which it's written, "I've created the evil inclination," that pertains not to the inanimate growing and living, or those inanimate growing and living in people, but rather the degree of speaking. There it says, "I've created the evil inclination," a desire which is within people who long for the Creator. Their longing, this yearning of theirs, is related to the evil inclination, the ego, because on one hand they long for the Creator, but on the other hand, this desire by which they long to the Creator is opposite to the Creator himself. They'll need to correct it in order to actually discover the Creator in it, because it's possible to grasp anything by a thing in its opposite. Where is it written of a thing in its opposite, in the perception of reality? Bring us some excerpts.
So what does it mean that through the form of the Creator, through the form of Pharaoh, you determine there's something else besides him?
Of course. How otherwise?
Yeah, but what does it mean?
It means that only, I don't need those verses, just have them and send them. Right. I cannot see, I cannot understand anything if it's not made of two forms, light and darkness together. I can't feel darkness or light by themselves. I feel only the two, only the contrast between them, the difference between them. That's how I feel reality. The created being doesn't exist in the form of light or the form of darkness, because both come from the Creator. Both these forms, the light comes from Him, and the darkness from His opposite, or His inversion. And I, as the created being, am on the seam, on the boundary between light and darkness. And I can only make distinctions between the two.
So in order to determine there is none else besides him, first you have to determine that there is none else besides him. That's how you do all the time. What is the opposite of there is none else besides him?
The negation of the Creator. That's what Baal Sulam writes somewhere. Find it. The negation of the Creator, or the desire to discover the Creator, are the same thing. It doesn't matter. Either I hate him or I love him, I say that he doesn't exist, or I say wholeheartedly that he exists. It's all qualities of panim v'achuraim, posterior and anterior, of that quality called the Creator.
Is Pharaoh the negation of the Creator? When you identify something to be Pharaoh, is that the opposite of Creator?
Yes. It's the same power, same force, but inverted. The posterior of the achuraim of the Creator is called Pharaoh.
Now, in the article he writes, according to the intensity of Moses, you can determine how much adhesion he has in the Creator.
Moshe is in the middle, between the front and back, between the anterior and posterior, and therefore I've hardened his heart. What is the Creator saying? Come, now I've given you an opportunity to get to know me better.
So how do we strengthen Moses?
By you feeling the extent of Pharaoh's evil, then you have the need to strengthen the Moshe.
Can you define, because I can't grasp, well, how does Pharaoh disturb you?
After that, we say that there's no ascent without descent, as the advantage of flight out of darkness, and we're happy when we have a great descent, because we will have a great ascent, Shimon from the marketplace, and so on.
Where exactly you determine that this is Pharaoh? All the places where I don't see the Creator? Where do I say this is Pharaoh?
According to what do I determine that this is Pharaoh and not the Creator? It's him confusing me by saying that there is someone besides him. It's a very vivid distinction. It's very accurate. If I think that something, someone exists other than there's none else besides him, then it's actually Pharaoh who's toying with me in a very open manner, so to speak. He reveals himself and he says, I exist. What Creator? What are you talking about? Look, I'm placing all these obstacles in front of you. I confuse you with all manner of things. You now need to run to the police, to the courthouse. You have enemies and the people who love you, supporters. Look what's happening all over the world. People are just standing ready with knives, just wanting to come to you and harm you. That's Pharaoh in the good, proper way. And what? Ultimately, it's clear that we need to make an effort to discover that there is none else besides him through that form.
So, ultimately, in order to determine there is none besides him, there first must be a discernment that there is a Pharaoh, right?
In order for there to be a Pharaoh, you also need to prepare with the group, in the study, the correct order of the study and all of that, yes. Otherwise, what will he be revealed on? If you're not ready, you need to make all your preparations. For you to have supporters, a place of work, everything organized. Yes.
What gives you faith in this work to determine that there's none else besides him?
What
faith? What he writes that Moshe gives is the force of faith inside a person.
No, no, no.
No, the question is not clear.
I can read it out of the article.
Well, read.
He writes here, this is because a person has Moshe inside him, which is the quality of faithful shepherd who shepherds the truth for the whole of Israel. That force awakens a person to see the truth that he will never achieve the quality of man by himself. This is the meaning of the verse, and he saw that there is no one. This causes him to ask the Creator to give him faith in the Creator by which he will achieve Dvekut in the Creator.
Yes.
So what gives me the faith to determine there is no one besides him?
The power of faith. From where do I receive the power of faith? Right? From my prayer. From my prayer through the 10. I demand for there to be the power of bestowal, the power of faith, adhesion with the Creator according to equivalence, matching Him, and then with that power of faith I will advance onto a state where I can come to know the Creator.
Meaning, I must have faith in order to determine there's not us besides Him?
It depends on the degree. You can say there's none else besides Him because it's simply disclosed to you through some small illumination from above thanks to your efforts, but it's not that you're actually constructing this power of faith. It's not that you invoke Him actively. Afterwards, however, we do work in this matter where you have Vakdemuna and Gardemuna. That later comes. All right? Yes.
Towards the end of the article, he emphasizes twice. One, to depict for himself that even when he is in the lowest place and keeps on going, it says that a person should picture for himself as if he has attained the Creator in all his organs, and how he would thank and praise the Creator. Likewise, now he should thank and praise the Creator as though he has already been rewarded with the real wholeness.
Yes, so what's the question?
What is that, an exercise? Can you practice this?
Yes, practice. All these things are simply exercises by which you force yourself to be like in an act, in a state where you're not actually in. We are climbing the spiritual ladder in a way where we're constantly playing, acting out love, giving, connection, through love, through the friends, to the Creator. This all pertains to the prayer. It's as if we want it. Then, thanks to all these efforts, the reforming light actually comes. But we're acting, we're lying. Correct. But you're lying with effort. And therefore, it arrives.
Ken Chaim.
Rav, there is this part in the second excerpt when he says that the Creator and the Torah and the light are one. And Israel are one. Can you give us a picture that will aim us in this direction?
Israel, the Torah, and the Creator are one. Israel, Oraita Kucha Brichu Chadhu in Hebrew. Israel is those who aspire to return to their root, it's written. Oraita, the Torah, is the 613 degrees which he walks until he comes to discover that there is none else besides him, the Kucha Brichu, the Creator, which fills all of reality, and he alone exists, and other than him exists only one tiny little point which is inverted opposite to him, which is meant to discover him. there needs to be this black dot within the white light. How is it written?
In letter 17, he says, you have three discernments. Israel toils itself to return to its roots. Two, the Creator is the root to which he yearns. Three is Ochin Deoraita, where he purifies his body and his soul, which is the spice in the verse. I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. But the truth is, all three are actually one. Ultimately, every servant of the Creator will attain them as one unique and unified discernment. And when it seems to be divided into three, it's because it's you're not completely working for the Creator.
All right? Good. Yes, Coleman.
A question from Peter. What does it mean to observe the picture of the world through the Creator? How can we practically do that?
The world doesn't exist, but rather the Creator is painting this world for us so that we acknowledge Him, come to know Him. In what way? If we unite all the forms of the world, the shapes, into one to one source, then through the world we'll see the Creator clothed in all of reality, the whole world. Where is that written? Find that.
Who determines the disturbances? How can we determine that it's a disturbance? Well, with respect to what?
A disturbance is simply what helps me determine that there is none else besides Him in a new way, a more powerful way. That's why it's called a disturbance. Therefore, I kiss it. I kiss the stick. Thanks to the disturbances, I advance. I acquire new forms of the Creator.
A question from New York. Can you explain the difference between a servant and a slave of Pharaoh?
One who simply works for Pharaoh is one who wants to work and to get a nice reward, to grow fat. You have 7 years of satiation. But a slave of Pharaoh, that's in the 7 years of hunger, where I want to flee, I want to escape, I don't want to work for him. But there's nothing I can do. It's impossible to escape Egypt, as it's written. It's written that no one could escape Egypt. Yes.
What is pondering over the first ones? What does that mean?
It's one who despairs, how to put it, one who ponders the beginnings. He regrets, right? He regrets his previous decisions.
With respect to what?
Anything, it doesn't matter. It's, according to the individual.
A question from the Russian Kli. How to rise above alien thoughts in the lesson? I've tried everything, but still these thoughts come and they distract my mind from the lesson.
Then they're not foreign thoughts, I suppose, when I enjoy them, right? It depends if it's a disturbance or not. If these thoughts are such that I want to get rid of them, then they could be foreign thoughts. However, if there are thoughts that I'm constantly struggling with in order to constantly catch the Creator in my field of vision, right, in my feelings, then it may be that they're foreign, different from the Creator, but through them I can grab hold of Him. So, are they foreign or aren't they? It's called a help against Him, an aid. So I don't want to get rid of them. Specifically, thanks to them, I now understand that I can grab hold of the Creator, and it's great that I have them. I kiss them.
So how can I work with it? What should I do with these thoughts?
Love them. Otherwise, how will I grab hold of the Creator? I'll have no need of Him. I can't pray for Him to help me adhere to Him despite these thoughts. Meaning, in my prayer, these thoughts are an inseparable part from the prayer. Otherwise, how will I pray to him? Why do I need him? Even if I do need him, I won't have any urgency, any... All the evil inclination, all the bad things, we're not aware of the extent to which we can't advance at all without them. We'll just remain as beasts. You understand? Anyone who's greater than his friend has a greater evil inclination. All sorts of devious things that awaken in us where we don't want, we can't. Every time we're just tossed, thrown around. Without that, I'm not a person. I cannot be Adam, which is similar to the Creator, human.
So shouldn't I ask for to get rid of these thoughts?
No.
So what should I do?
Correct them, and through them come to grab hold of the Creator, and for them to always remain.
What do you mean, correct?
Where is it written that they shouldn't die, but rather repent?
What do you mean when you say correct it?
To correct means that through them I will hold the Creator, and that they won't disappear, because if they disappear, I'll just fall from my degree. Meaning, on every spiritual degree, all these foreign thoughts turn into supporters, aids. Through them, I tie myself to the Creator with further knots and ties. Nothing was created for no reason. So, these degrees are the degrees of the righteous, who justify creation. And creation, bria, is bar, meaning outside of the degree, meaning the evil forces, so to speak. We don't know. There are so many people who rise against us, want to make us fail, kill us, destroy us, and we see every day, and we'll see it even more, even more. It's not only here and in Russia a little bit and some other places. It'll be all over the world. They'll come with knives like that in their teeth towards you. And this is a sign that we are worthy of connecting with the Creator.
A question from New York. What is this state where I awaken as if I was sleeping? This lesson is so deep, as if it's my first Congress.
It depends on the individual. Yeah. If you hear this lesson again, you'll say, oh, we talked about this and that and this. We don't have so many innovations, so to speak. All of the innovations come from the renewal of our own vessels. Yes.
If some of these disturbances are bad words that I hear from members of my group, and I know there's no one besides them, but how can I protect myself? Or should I stay silent about these things?
Try to follow my words. After a ship, there's this flow of water. Just follow each other like that. There's a trail. You know, my slang. You know my way of speaking. I'm breaking a path for you, and then we'll advance quicker.
And how should I act?
Hear and swallow. And hear and swallow.
A few more questions I haven't translated yet.
All right. No, so we had someone there. Yes, Gershon. Speaking of Egypt.
He writes an article that when a person starts doing the work, he's getting reward for it, And then he sees that there's no discernment of men inside, only he sees everyone as beasts.
But how does he determine it? Because he already has a point from the degree of Adam, of human. So he can determine that he is on the degree of beast, otherwise it's impossible to determine.
Then he gives an advice that where there are no men, try to be a person. So I have two questions.
He's speaking to himself.
Yes.
In a place where there are no people, there are no human qualities, I now need to raise myself by force to the degree of Adam, human. Try to be a person.
If I heard correctly, your advice is actually to look for the Creator behind all these desires, to see how the Creator is the one who's sending them to you. Can you please be specify practically, when a person sees that he's drawn to all kinds of other things except for spirituality, so what's the advice here of searching the Creator? What's the process? What's the way? How? How can you're lost in Egypt? How can he start searching at all?
Help him. He doesn't know how to search for the Creator. Did you search for the leavened chametz when you were looking for the chametz?
Yes.
In all the corners of the house. So where do we search for the Creator?
I know the answers, but I'm asking practically about the internal force. That person has to find strength inside when he's surrounded with so many temptations and desires. And
don't speak nonsense. You won't find anything there. Just continue playing around with that, and then you'll see yourself just thrown out of here, and that's it.
Where is there? Where is the place I don't find anything?
In your search, you need to search for the Creator only in the center of the ten.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
What?
Tell me how. How can I search?
How to search? I don't know. Search.
When you were looking for living, you were walking with a candle looking for it.
Yes, that's how you search.
What's my candle? What illuminates? Where to look for it?
Do you know what the center of the ten is?
It changes this concept for me all the time.
It changes. All right. Then search. This is called the search. Try to be connected constantly.
What does it mean?
I'm not going to now read all the articles on this with you. Bash's articles on the society. Continue. Good. So what are we doing next?
Sefer Pesach, 84, Boel Paro Aleph. Read a comment to Pharaoh.